I call this first session of the unofficial legislature to order.
Utah got some new legislators for the day back in August. They're shorter than you might expect, but they passed some really critical bills.
So I think that we should have a, like, National Ice Cream Month because, first of all, why shouldn't we?
Okay, that is some legislation I can get behind, but only if they expand it to free ice cream for everyone. Because, Sonia, I really need my fix of Cherry Garcia.
I hope you can get that, Emily.
Thank you.
I love that for you. What you just heard is a bunch of fifth graders from Saratoga Springs holding a mock session on the House floor. I'm Sonia Hudson.
And I'm Emily Means. On this episode of State Street, we're going to take a cue from the kids and take our own tour of how the legislative session works. So grab your ice cream and your spoon and settle in. We'll look at the 45-day legislative session, how it works, how that impacts what kind of laws get passed, and whether there's a better way.
Before we get into how it works now, let's talk about why it's only 45 days long, which is about 7 weeks. It runs from the middle of January to early March.
Utah has had a 45-day session since 1985, and before that, it was 60 days. Paul Reeves is a Western historian at the University of Utah, and he suggested to us that Utah might have chosen to have this shorter session because of Westerners' dislike of big government. And that goes back even before the founding of Utah. And Reeves says the idea is if they put a limit on the state legislature, then they can't endlessly pass laws.
The legislative session is only 45 days. That means that it is a part-time legislature or a citizen legislature. Lawmakers get paid a little. It's about $16,000 every year to be there for those 45 days. Plus, all their transportation costs and meals are covered. They also do some interim work between sessions and have to be on call for any special sessions. So most of them have a full-time day job, too.
Utah isn't the only state that works that way. There are 13 other states that also have part-time legislatures, and most of those are in the West. A handful of states meet full-time and year-round. The rest of the states have some sort of hybrid situation, where they spend more than two-thirds of their time doing legislative work, but they still don't make enough money not to have other sources of income.
Within those 45 days, that's between 6 and 7 weeks long, which is annoying that it's not a nice rounded number of weeks, but that's where we're at. During those 45 days, they pass a budget, which is really the only thing they have to do. It's in their rules, and also because without a budget, there's no money for the state to spend.
That makes a lot of sense, Sonia. But they do a lot of stuff besides make that budget. They pass somewhere around 500 bills. And Sonia, how does a bill become a law?
Well, Emily, here is the quick and dirty Utah Schoolhouse Rock explanation. Let's explain how it works with a bill that's sponsored by someone in the House. The bill gets introduced on the House floor, then it goes to the Rules Committee, which decides which committee to send that bill to. Then there's a hearing where the public can tell lawmakers what they think, and the committee will vote on it. If it passes, then it goes to the House floor, where all representatives debate it and vote on it. If it passes there, then it goes to the Senate and goes through the same process over there. If it makes it through the Senate, then it goes to the governor. If a bill is sponsored by someone in the Senate, the process happens exactly the same way.
And that's how a bill becomes a law. That's how a bill becomes a law.
Yeah, is that how it works?
Yeah, you know, the governor probably will sign the bill, and then it most likely takes effect a few months later.
See, it's just that easy, as long as you follow the rules to a T. But that doesn't always happen because lawmakers can vote to suspend the rules. And Emily, you know, the best piece of advice I think I got when I started reporting on the legislature was that there are rules, but there are also no rules.
Rules are made to be broken, Sonia.
They totally are.
A lot happens in this 45-day session. The question is this even a good way to make laws? Would we be better off with a longer session and lawmakers whose only job is to make laws?
Well, I put that question to Todd Weiler. He is a Republican state senator from Woods Cross in Davis County.
The pros are primarily you get a wider variety of people willing to serve in the legislature. So the beauty of our legislature is that we have legislators really from all walks of life. It is a sacrifice to take 6 or 7 weeks off during the general session and then 1 or 2 days a month the rest of the year, but it's doable for a lot of people.
We won't leave you hanging on this. We're going to dive into who gets to be a politician more in the next episode.
But in this episode, Todd says there are downsides to the short session as well.
The disadvantage, I guess, would be that you don't get as meaningful debate as you would otherwise.
Todd says bail reform is a good example of a time when they ran out the clock on an issue that was really important to him. Back in 2020, Todd helped pass a bill that essentially moved Utah away from its reliance on cash bail. The state would instead rely more on other things like ankle monitors and drug tests.
This year, some powerful lawmakers wanted to repeal it because they said it wasn't working, and the Sheriff's Association also said that. Even though prosecutors from the state's largest counties said this bail reform was working. We'll put some more links to Sonia's reporting on bail reform in the episode notes if that's something you want to learn more about.
At the beginning of the legislative session in January of this year, Todd had a meeting with Republican Representative Mike Schultz, the lawmaker who was spearheading the repeal effort.
He's usually like wearing jeans and cowboy boots. He's got a great smile. People like him. He's got charisma.
Todd had a meeting with Mike at the beginning of the session to talk about bail reform because Todd really did not want it to be repealed.
We sat down in his office and, you know, I expressed some of my concerns. I said, hey, I think we have enough time in the session to get this done. And so I started a working group during the session.
The working group had people from all different parts of the criminal justice system, public defenders, prosecutors, sheriffs, bail bond lobbyists, and the state court system.
We had some very meaningful discussions the last 3 weeks of the session, and we came up with some draft legislation. I think that it would have solved about 70% of the problems.
But there was not enough time to get everyone on board with that 70% fix or find a solution that fixed 100% of the issues.
I gave a very impassioned speech on the Senate floor against the repeal bill. By the time I got up to give the speech, I was aware that I didn't have enough votes to stop the repeal bill. But I was hoping that, you know, maybe I could be persuasive enough in my speech that I would change some votes.
On this second substitute, it doesn't fix anything. It creates a tremendous amount of confusion.
Second substitute House Bill 220, having received 20 yay votes, 8 nay votes, 1 being absent, passes this body.
Most of bail reform gets repealed, which was super disappointing for Todd.
The fast and furious session doesn't always work out for lawmakers.
Definitely. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll hear how the process works out for lobbyists. It can not only feel super rushed, but also not very transparent. You're listening to State Street.
KUER is proud to be a listener-supported public radio station. We'd like to thank our community of more than 10,000 sustainers who make a monthly contribution to the station, starting at just $5 a month. Because of your support, all the news, stories, and conversations that you hear are independent, calm, and commercial-free. If something you heard on KUER made a difference to you recently, become a new sustainer or increase your existing pledge at KUER.org/donate.
You're listening to State Street. I'm Sonia Hudson.
And I'm Emily Means. So, 45 days. The legislative session can go by at a breakneck speed. And if it doesn't always work out for lawmakers, what's it like for other people up on the Hill?
So I talked to a lobbyist about that. Her name is Gabe Archuleta. She represents YWCA Utah up on Capitol Hill.
We have a broad portfolio of policy issues that we cover that really advance the economic empowerment, safety and health, and racial equity for women and all families in Utah.
That sounds like a lot of issues to keep track of.
It is.
Especially during a 45-day session where things are moving really quickly.
That's an issue that Gabe ran into this past year on the Hill. There was a bill that removed the requirement to get a permit to carry a concealed weapon. Gabe and representatives from other domestic violence shelters were trying to stop it.
People were really concerned about this bill because you had to get some training to get one of those concealed carry permits. And the YWCA and other advocacy groups thought this training could help people be safe gun owners.
This bill was really important to them, but Gabe and other people advocating on the Hill against domestic violence did not publicly testify during a committee hearing for the bill.
One of the reasons we didn't testify was because there were so many bills. This came as quite a bit of a surprise to us. Right at the beginning of the session, we were just trying to cover all of the bills that were coming out. As a group working with the domestic violence shelters throughout Utah and some of my coworkers, we were just trying to figure out what this meant, what our position was on it. And it just went through so fast. I feel like we didn't even have a chance to really get our bearings on it.
And then it flew through the process that we outlined at the beginning of the episode. Just 15 days into the session, it was on the Senate floor facing its last major vote. Gabe was watching this all go down on her laptop while she was sitting at her kitchen table.
I was feeling pretty disappointed because, you know, at YWCA Utah, we promote the health and safety of women and girls and everybody in our community. And this just really felt like this was taking away an element of education for people who wanted to carry concealed firearms.
So there was this time crunch that made this bill kind of get away from Gabe. But there was also something weird about the way this bill made it through the legislature. In the middle of this super quick process, Sonia, the Rules Committee assigned this bill, which was about guns, to the Natural Resources Committee, which was kind of strange because firearms bills often get assigned to the Judiciary or Law Enforcement Committee. This is an example of how powerful the Rules Committee is, because they decide which bills go to which committees and which bills don't even get assigned at all and therefore never see the light of day.
Gabe heard about this kind of unusual decision to send the bill to the Natural Resources Committee in a group text.
It was some of my coworkers at YWCA Utah and then people who worked at the shelters throughout the state were just all surprised. You know, what does this mean? Scratching our heads. Why is it in this committee? And just, it seems like it's a foregone conclusion. Having this bill go to that committee felt as though it was lacking transparency with what was going on with the bill.
Todd Weiler, the Republican state senator we talked to earlier, is actually on the Rules Committee. He says the public can attend those meetings, but they usually don't. They typically take place after the full Senate meets on the floor.
The Rules Committee will usually meet about 2 minutes after we adjourn. So the time is kind of fungible. And so if you're not already there and if you don't know how to get to the, you have to come and wait in the lobby area. And then like one of our security staffers will probably escort you back. So it is the most difficult meeting to attend by far. It's set up like that for the convenience of the legislators. And we also do not take public comment.
Gabe said that when the Rules Committee assigned the concealed carry bill to the Natural Resources Committee, it seemed like they were doing that to make sure that it passed. But Todd had a different explanation for those weird committee assignments that pop up sometimes.
If it's a health bill, you think it's going to go to a health committee, right? But what if the health committee is backlogged by 3 weeks? So maybe we send it to business and labor.
What about bills that don't get assigned to committees at all and therefore don't even get to have public hearings?
Todd says that that is actually related to how short the session is and the crunch to pass all of these bills in such a short time frame.
I don't know that it does anyone a favor to take up a whole bunch of time in our already compressed process for a bill that we know is going to fail. Again, if your listeners say, well, that's not fair, it should get a hearing every time, that's a fair opinion. But you need to realize 25 other bills are dying so that we can have this debate that everyone knows the end from the beginning.
Basically, the Rules Committee doesn't assign bills they know won't pass, especially when those bills are super controversial, because it just takes too long to debate them.
Right. At least that's Todd's perspective. There's definitely some advocacy groups that say those controversial bills deserve public hearings because they're just important discussions to have.
We've been talking about the crunch to get bills passed in just 45 days, and that all comes to a head in the session's final days.
Remember when I said there are no rules? this is where that part comes in. That nice, neat process we laid out at the beginning, you know, House or Senate floor, then rules, then committee, then comment, basically goes out the window. I'm going to talk about how this works in the House, but the exact same thing happens in the Senate. In the House chamber, there are these screens hanging that kind of look like airport arrival boards. They have a list of bills that the House will consider. And during the last few days of the session, there are so many bills on that list waiting to be voted on. A member of the House majority, so the Republicans, will stand up at their desk and make a motion to send a bunch of the bills back to the Rules Committee.
All those in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion passes. House Bill 215, first substitute House Bill 364, HB 397, and HCR 14 are all returned to Rules.
Those will essentially be sent into a kind of limbo back in the Rules Committee.
Then, during the last couple days, a lawmaker will make a motion to lift certain bills from the Rules Committee and bring them back to the full House.
This is where they get very deliberate about what bills they want to make sure get passed. They read off the bills in the order they want to consider them so they can make sure they get to high priority bills before the clock runs out at midnight.
Which is when they all turn into pumpkins.
Exactly.
And a lot of times you'll look up at the board after the clock strikes midnight and there will still be a ton of bills that they didn't even get to.
So the lawmakers who got screwed by the end of the session crunch just have to try again the next year.
Well, Sonia, why not just make the session longer? Or make being a legislator a full-time job?
Here's what Todd told me.
I believe that if we double the session, if we went from 45 days to 90 days, we would still wait until the last week to tackle the hardest issues. And so I'm one of many voices up there saying, don't make our session longer, because I think there will be unintended consequences. And I think ultimately it would do more damage than good.
Why do you wait until the last week?
Because we're human. You know, it's human nature, I think. If you have a hard decision to make, to delay it until you have to make it. And sometimes we wait to the end of the session and then we don't reach a consensus and then it gets kicked, you know, down the road. That happened with bail reform last year, for example.
As we've mentioned before on State Street, I used to be a producer and a reporter in California. And I think Todd has a really good point here. You know, California has a full-time legislature with an 8-month-long session. We used to do a segment on the show that I produced where we'd run through all the big important bills that passed during the final day of the session.
It's that same kind of end of the session crunch that Utah has.
Exactly. Gabe says that having a longer session or a full-time legislature would just mean that lawmakers would have more time to introduce more bills, and you'd still end up with too many to consider.
Our country, our culture just isn't well practiced in doing less. So what I think would be more helpful is if legislators were limited at the number of bills that they could file. I think that that would require them to really think about what bills they wanted to push forth, and then it would give them time to study their own bills, give other legislators time to study and understand the bills, give more opportunity for community and stakeholder input.
Sonia, if you could describe the legislative session in just a few words, what would they be?
I would say chaotic, crazy, but also very intentional.
Okay, I'm going to need you to explain that.
All right. Well, you've only got 45 days to pass like 500 bills, which is a lot. Activists and lawmakers say you don't always have time for everything, whether that's getting a compromise going or taking the time to do deep dives on the potential consequences of a bill. So that's the chaotic bit. The intentional bit is really wrapped up in the Rules Committee, for one. The Rules Committee has so much power and relatively little transparency in deciding what bills see the light of day and which committee they go to. They're very intentional about what happens to bills. Secondly, the legislature is also very deliberate when the most powerful lawmakers reorder bills on the last night of the session. They decide which bills are definitely going to be passed in time and which ones are in danger of not making that midnight cutoff.
Yeah, the length of the session and the Rules Committee majorly impact which bills get passed. And we heard that there are definitely pros and cons to the way they work. But I think the big questions we're left with are, Is the process transparent enough, and does it move too fast?
Something I think a lot of people don't realize is that even though the session is only 45 days, so much happens before it even starts. And Todd says that means people who want to be involved need to be paying attention way before the first day.
What happens is a lot of people find out something's about to happen and then they want to engage. And what I'm saying is they think that we're at stage one and we're actually, you know, just about to finish the project. If you want to be part of the process, you need to understand the process and you need to engage at the appropriate times.
We're going to dig more into how to participate in the legislature and some of those barriers and opportunities that exist for people to get involved in our next two episodes.
But until then, that does it for this episode of State Street. I'm Sonia Hudson.
And I'm Emily Means. The show was edited by Caroline Ballard and produced by Roddy Nickpour.
Chelsea Naughton is the podcast executive producer, and Palak Jaiswal is our digital producer. Our news director is Elaine Clark. State Street is a production of KUER.
We also send out a newsletter every week with fun bonus content and plenty of musing about Utah politics.
You can sign up for that newsletter at KUER.org/State Street.
Be it further resolved that the state shall celebrate with free ice cream for fifth graders on the third Sunday in the month of July in recognition of the National Ice Cream Day.
From KUER.